2 weeks ago, I will not fear. God is always, always, that's the important word, always. God is always with me. I will not doubt. God is always in control. That was last week. Now tonight, I will not despair. God is always good. Bad things may happen to us, okay? And other than what God would allow to come to get our attention, to change our direction, okay, God is always good. And even in allowing some things that we would identify as bad, God allows it because of what he wants to do with it. I will not despair. Many times we can live in despair because of the circumstances that we face. Right. Listen, folks, circumstances are real.
Amen.
The conditions that we live with are real. And I will not stand up here and poo-poo the idea that we can all rise above the circumstances. Where's your faith if you're not rising above? How are you doing? I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And then some wiseacre's going to say, what are you doing under the circumstance? You're supposed to be on top of it. You're a Christian. I remember the first time I had somebody tell me that. It didn't come together quick enough in my mind. Okay? I'm a slow thinker. When I got home, Pat heard the same thing, and then we discussed it. She evaluated it, okay? And I was ready for the next time somebody said, what are you doing under the circumstances? Self-righteous blankety blank. Now, blankety blank was not swear words. My blankety blanks are not swear words, but they weren't kind words, okay? We must be careful that we don't come across with such easy cliches that sound so pious. Listen, we live in a real world.
Right.
You face real conditions and circumstances that are hard. I will not despair when I face them. I may break down and cry. I'm doing a lot of crying recently. I may break down under the pressure of them, but I don't have despair. Okay? There's no reason for despair because I have God. Now, how I get myself in my condition and situation connected with God and the help and the grace that he has, now therein is the challenge. But we can depend on him, okay? Because he's always good. I will not despair. God is always good. Now listen, that my simply repeating that and saying it in different ways is not what's going to help you. It got your attention. But what's going to help is the scripture. Amen. Amen. I have heard through the years too many messages wherein the preacher just lays out the situation, lays out the problem. And he, in various ways, restates the problem. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
Amen.
And he never gets to it. Or gets there very little. So you're thinking to yourself, you're going to get to it? Yep. Psalm 27. This is why we need not despair. God is always good. Psalm 27, verse 13. And 14. David says, I had fainted. I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He knew that he could depend upon God to show him his goodness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. When you are under pressure and prone to faint, you can depend on the goodness of God. Just wait. Oh, that's the hard part, isn't it? I've been claiming Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I ask God, when is that going to come? How is that going to come? When I say when, I'm not rushing him. I'm just wondering when. Okay? And how is that going to come? How are you going to comfort me? Is it going to be with my thoughts? Is it going to be with some of the feelings of my heart? Is it going to be with some of the circumstances that I live in? Is it going to come through an individual? Probably all above, okay? Probably all above. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. I will not despair, because God is always good. That's not only stated by David the psalmist in Psalm 27, but if you'll turn to Psalm 40, we find the same theme carried on. Psalm 40, beginning at verse 1, again, a psalm of David. Some of them are of other writers, but these two are from David. Where David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to wait, but it isn't always patiently. I frequently, by me being me, I need to ask God for patience. Okay? And if that's how you are, that's not a flaw on your part. It's just how you are.
Amen.
Now, there are people who don't have that same struggle with patience. But there are those of us who do. And so what he tells us, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Because God is always good. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Frequently, that verse is understandably applied to when he takes us out of the dregs of sin and raises us up to set us on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. But it's not limited to that. In my opinion, it's not limited to that. Because you see, David was already a child of God. And he says here that God brought him up out of an horrible pit. Could that describe where you are? Could that describe sometimes the conditions that you feel yourself in? Taking us out of the miry clay. Miry clay. Boy, you know, it's like, try and walk through miry clay. You ever been in that kind of situation and it sucks your shoes off? I've not had that happen a lot, but I've had it happen. Oh, great. Now what do I do? Because I'm already stepping forward. I can't just step back in and put my... And so there goes my foot down in the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. That's what we need to be established. Established in the Lord. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I will not despair because God is always with me. And under various conditions and circumstances that can be described with various illustrations, God is nevertheless there. In the book of Matthew, going to the New Testament, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in verse 29, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I will not despair. God is always with me. And if he'll take care of his creation in the manner that he just described, he says, will he not take care of you? You're worth more than a bunch of sparrows. And what he's inferring is that's one of the reasons God is going to take care of you, because you're more value than a bunch of birds. Now, that's not putting down the bunch of birds, okay? All you bird lovers, I'm not going there. I fixed that up several weeks ago when I gave you a message on what God says about animals. So don't get on your hobby or high horse about it. But he does say that you are of more value than many sparrows. And that's why I don't need to despair. I may have difficulty. I may have a hard time bearing the burden I am. I know for me, I will have to pray for patience. But I know that God cares for me. Listen, if God would take the time to save my soul, cannot I trust him to take care of me as we go through life? I mean, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save me. So has he just saved me and I'll let me float on and hear, you know, hit and miss? Of course not. You know that. I know the group I'm talking to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 3 and 4, I read almost daily. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes. Verse 3 and 4 I read daily. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." So we can feel good? Well, we do end up feeling good. But that's not why he's comforting us. The context tells us very clearly that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now, how are we going to comfort others? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God isn't going to bring me through this time of grieving and mourning just so I feel better, though I will feel better. But he's doing it so when my path crosses the path of somebody else, and particularly I'm thinking of a man who loses his wife, that I can come up alongside of him and offer something. I don't know what it'll be. I'll have to depend upon God to help me to know what to say. Sometimes I don't need to say anything other than, "I just want you to know I'm praying for you." Because now in my heart, I can identify with that man and his heart. But look, I didn't come to go there. Look at verse 10. It's where I wanted to bring us. It tells of Jesus who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. He not only saved us from the death that would condemn us, but he doth deliver. If he would save us to start with, we can depend on him to continue to save us. Not save in the sense of giving us eternal life, but continue to save in the sense of working in our lives. He doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Look at chapter 4, same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. What treasure? The treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the experience of eternal life, the treasure of God's working in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. We're the earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So whatever's going to come about by the presence of this message, this gospel in our life, it's not by our power, okay, but of God. Then he goes on and he says this. Maybe this describes where you've been or maybe where you are. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I will not despair. God is always good. And verse 8 and 9 tells us that whatever the situation and the condition is that we're experiencing us, not in despair. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Verse 18, same chapter, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah, okay. How does that fit in? We are people of the earth. Earthy. We are a people that live in a temporal world. What we see, what we hear, what we feel. But there is another world. Things which are not seen. And those are the things which are eternal. And what he's telling us is we need to get ourselves fixed on those things. Now again, I say, that's true. We agree with it. We understand it. But boy, I'll tell you, bringing my life into conformity with that in my daily living. I don't struggle against this, but it does come to me sometimes. I would be able, without a lot of effort, to despair more than once a day. It comes to me, you're alone. You'll never go in a room and see her again. You'll never hear her voice again. You'll never feel her touch again. Now, folks, there's coming a time where my illustrations won't be of this sort. But I'm not there yet. So please be patient with me. I can despair. It wouldn't take much to just forget it. Boy, wouldn't that please the devil? And I've said already to God, I cannot go there, Father. There's too much riding on it. It's too important. I cannot fail your life in me. And that's what would happen. Try and think, if you can, how would you feel? What would you think if you were to hear that I wiped out, that I called pastor and said, I'll not be back. I can't handle it. Because you see, not only would I not be back, the devil would be delighted if I would then fill my life with sin.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what would happen.
Yeah.
A person doesn't just walk away from the church. They don't even just walk away from God. They walk into the welcoming arms of the devil.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I cannot go there. I don't want to go there. All right, got that? Got that down?
Amen.
I don't want to go there. And that is one of the things that's going to keep me from going there. I want what's right. Pastor has frequently said through the time of caring for Pat, he said, you know, you're setting an example. The men of the church are learning. They're seeing how you're handling this. Well, the same men of the church and women would see how I'm handling this.
Go ahead. That's right. Exactly right, Pastor. Yeah. Yes.
Dale and Amy, they were down in New Jersey. They saw Dan and Shaylin Bell. Amy told me Dan still considers you his pastor.
Hey, Alec.
Can you imagine the devastation?
Yeah.
If they were to hear Pastor Hain wiped out. And well-meaning people would say, well, you know, he was under a lot of pressure. You know, he lived with her for 62 years. Yeah. But what would she say if I'd wipe out? I don't know. She's in heaven. You know, I wouldn't be able to know with any, but I know from what I know of her. Okay, it would have been choice. There's too many people that their walk with Christ is depending upon what they see of me through this time.
Try that.
Oh, I like parties. I can enjoy a pity party as much as anybody. Go there. Pat had a unique relationship with Charity and with Samantha, with others, okay? Her relationship was individual with you. It was not one being more important than another. No, you were the most important. But I look at them too, simply because I looked at them. Wouldn't that be sweet if they were to come to church one day? Pastor Asquith would say, please pray for Brother Hain. He's really struggling right now. And I wasn't there that day. Well, okay, he's struggling, whatever that means. And then the next service, he wasn't there. And the next one, he wasn't there. And you'd soon get the understanding what struggling meant. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I've communicated with so many of you that Pat was praying for you because she cared for you and loved you. She was so thrilled to hear when John Mark got saved.
Amen.
Each of you.
Amen.
Each of you. But you see, John Mark.
Yes.
When the service was over, when she was still attending and sat back there in that same pew, he would go back and he would ask, "Are you ready?" She had a bag she always carried. It had a blanket in it. She'd cover hers. She got cold when, oh my lands, she got cold when I was sweating. Really, literally. He'd come back and had her Bible, had her notebook, and when she couldn't go downstairs anymore, she'd bring a little bit of lunch. I remember when she said, "You just announced we're not supposed to eat in the church. What am I going to do?" I said, "Listen, I don't think anybody's going to care if you have your half a sandwich and an orange." That's about what she ate. I don't know if I convinced her, but she kept eating. He'd come back and he'd say, "You ready?" He'd pick up her bag, take it out, and put it in the car for her. I remember the first time I said, "Where's your bag? I'll take it out." With a big smile, she said, "John Mark, he got it for me." Yeah. That just wouldn't be good if Pastor Haim wiped out. But now you listen to me. It's not all about me. It's not all about Patricia. It's about every one of you that know Christ.
That's right.
It would not be good if you wiped out.
Amen.
Somebody's watching you.
Amen.
They might live with you in the same four walls.
How about that?
For sure they're watching you. If
sure
you
they are.
It might be a neighbor. How's Miss Sandy, by the way? She's still in the hospital of Rochester. Okay. Wouldn't that be sweet if in her condition you were to find out, "Hey, guess what? Ronnie Scott, remember, he helped you. He ain't going to church anymore. He's been trying to reach her with salvation. He can't afford to do that. It's not all about Ronnie. It's about God using Ronnie. God using Roger. God using Tim. Tim where he works. All kinds of people there. And they're watching. They know he goes to church. They can hear what he doesn't say. They understand what kind of guy he is. What happens if he begins to despair and slacks off? You know what would happen? They'd soon start to hear the words coming out of his mouth that they don't hear now. And it wouldn't be long. They'd soon know something's different.
That's right.
And any testimony he had before them wiped out. Now it could, he repents, it could be reestablished. But it's going to take a long while. And the guys who no longer work there, they're not going to know that he came back. Do you see why it's so important that we stay faithful to God? The souls of men are depending on it. You say, "Well, I just can't really, I'm not good at witnessing. I'm not good at passing out tracts." Well, then get good at being faithful. That way, at least you won't wipe out what somebody else does in trying to reach them. I put some new tracks in the rack, by the way. Just thought of that now. Me as well. Promote it. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you, Father, for your love and grace to us. Amen.
Pastor, would you read Psalm 13?
Psalm 13. Yes. Psalm 13. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. Amen. Very fitting. All right, now before we give the prayer request,